It isn't always what it seems. Today, on Stories from the Heart, a young boy learns the lesson of not judging things as they seem. Stay tuned for another Story from the Heart. Ugly red shirt. I thought God promised that if I asked, I would receive. Maybe I didn't pray right. Maybe God didn't approve of my request, even though I signed off, "Love, Richard. Amen." Maybe I shuddered at the thought, "God sent her." Jewelry gleamed, her powder perfect. In her deep colored velvet and satin finery, she shimmered even in shadows. She never went without a hat, its net partially covering her face and some kind of feather sticking out. The God in my life in the 1940s, the supplier of things beyond the basic needs my mother could provide, was my great Aunt Lorraine. Most notable of all, as though making up for her small stature, Aunt Lorraine's tyrannical scoldings. Pointed red fingernails jabbed the air as she relentlessly pecked at my sister Laura and me. Nothing escaped her beady little eyes. "Sit up straight. How will the world treat you if you slouch? What kind of grades are these?" Laura and I tolerated her. She always brought something: tickets to a hockey game, a new book, rubber galoshes. But secondly, my mother threatened dire consequences if we were anything but respectful to our elder. "She has a good heart," Mother would say. "She means well." But when it came to birthdays, I wondered how these words could be true. Laura's gift was always the same: another year's piano lessons. And for me, it was as though Aunt Lorraine scoured the thrift stores for the ugliest gift possible. Of course, Mother made me write the obligatory thank you notes. They were short and carefully worded to avoid the whole truth. "Dear Aunt Lorraine, thank you for the stationery. It will be useful for all the letters I write." "Dear Aunt Lorraine, thank you for the philosophy book. I will learn a lot from Plato." It made me sneeze just to look at the thing. I had yearned for the hot blue jacket in the window at JCPenney. The year I made the varsity basketball team, I wanted new gym shoes more than anything else. I was sure everyone was staring at my worn-out Keds. For the first time, I dared ask Aunt Lorraine for a specific gift. I decided to write to her. I poured my heart into my plea. I must have started over a dozen times. Now my heart soared when a wrapped shoe-sized box was delivered after school on my big day. Aunt Lorraine had come through after all. I tore it open without waiting. There it lay, pressed and neatly folded, in white tissue, the ugliest red shirt I could have imagined, at least 10 years out of style. How could I have thought a box so light contained shoes? My eyes burned in fury and disappointment. I hid the box in the top of my closet. Aunt Lorraine never got better. She went from the hospital to a nursing home. Mother dragged us along to visit. Without the pecking and crowing, Aunt Lorraine seemed small and powerless, almost pitiful. When Aunt Lorraine died, Laura and I accompanied Mother to the lawyer's office. A bunch of legal-sounding language was interpreted for us. Even in death, though, Aunt Lorraine was still in charge. Her will stated that if our rooms were clean and chores done, Laura and I would receive a weekly allowance of $2 apiece. Funds in a trust would cover our college education, only if our grade point average stayed above 3.5 at all times. Then Laura and I were handed envelopes. First, Laura. From the crisp white envelope, she pulled a handful of bills. Then me. I tore open the envelope. A mere note. Aunt Lorene had done it again. I put the note back without unfolding it. Eventually, curiosity overcame my anger. A thin blue ink of her fountain pen traced the letters of her shaky hand. "You're a good boy, Richard, but you have much to learn. The best I can leave you is this. Do not shrink from touching the least desirable things in life, for in them you may find those which your heart desires. Love, Aunt Lorene." What was that supposed to mean? My first visit home from college was just before Halloween. I rummaged through my closet for something for a scarecrow costume. Whack! A box fell on my head, its lid knocked askew. The ugly red shirt fell out. Well, that might do. When I shook it for a better look, an envelope dropped from its folds. I opened it. It contained 3 $10 bills and a note. "I hope you enjoy your new basketball shoes. Love, Aunt Lorene." I sank to the floor. The note in my drawer? Was this what it meant? Had there been money hidden in those horrid gifts? My mind raced to recall what had happened to them. I threw everything out of my closet, searching, but they had been discarded years ago. While I sat heavily at the foot of the bed, fingering the 3 $10 bills, my eyes wandered to the bookcase. There, next to my Bible, was the old philosophy book. I pulled it out slowly, turned it upside down, and shook the open pages. Out fell 2 $20 bills and a note. "This should cover the jacket and hat, too. Love, Aunt Lorene." I had asked for the shoes, but the jacket? How had she known? I felt hollow and rubbery inside. She must have thought. Anything she might have thought would have been true. I never opened her gifts beyond the paper. I never used them. I detested them. Yet she had continued to give them, knowing the real gift inside probably would be thrown away. She had never said a word. My receptionist stood in the doorway watching me pack. "Will you be taking the shirt with you, Dr. Cooper?" I followed her gaze. On the wall beside a cross and a plaque hung the old shirt, so faded it was barely red anymore. "No, that will stay, but I reached for the plaque. I was retiring at last. It was July 22, 1998. My years at Memorial Hospital had gradually given way to a full-time work at the inner city clinic, housed in a once decrepit old school building that had gone to the highest bidder. With public donations and perhaps thousands of volunteers, the Lorene Cullen Center had emerged. As I lifted the plaque from its hook, a commotion in the hall startled me. "I don't want to see the new Dr. Cooper." A weathered and wrinkled old man burst past, Enid into the office with a volunteer in pursuit. "I want this one." His words whistled through toothless gums, and his blue eyes blazed as he latched into my arm. "Now, Mr. Auburn." I turned him back toward the examining room. "My daughter's better than I am, and a lot prettier, too. Come on, have some coffee with me when you're finished." In the quiet of the old man's retreat, my fingers traced Aunt Lorene's words engraved on the plaque, words I'd once hidden away in my underwear drawer. Then I hung it back on the wall between the cross and the ugly red shirt. St. Aloysius Gonzaga. St. Aloysius Gonzaga, the patron saint of youth, was born in 1568 and expected to carry on the family name and would fulfill this by his father's wish to become a soldier. But after reading about the life of Jesuit missionaries in India, he resolved to join the Society of Jesus. Over the next 2 years, Aloysius would argue with his father about his impending vocation. Finally, his father relented after the family title and responsibilities fell to his younger brother. In his third year of study, he received the revelation he would not live long. After the plague struck in 1591, he was sent to help with the sick in the Jesuit hospital in Rome. While helping care for the afflicted, he contracted the disease. Realizing his early death, he asked his confessor, St. Robert Bellarmine, if it was possible to avoid purgatory. Upon hearing that it was possible, Aloysius strove to aspire to this end. It was revealed to him that he would die on the octave of Corpus Christi, and although he appeared fine on the days before the feast, St. Aloysius Gonzaga, after a life of sanctity, did in fact die on the octave of Corpus Christi, June 21, 1591. He was only 23 years old. In art, he is shown as a young man wearing a black cassock and white overgarment. His attributes are a lily for innocence, a cross for piety and sacrifice, a skull for his early death, and a rosary for his devotion to the Blessed Mother. His memorial day is June 21st, the date of his entry into glory. St. Aloysius Gonzaga is the patron saint of Catholic youth. Joining us on Stories from the Heart. Today's story, The Ugly Red Shirt, was written by Catherine Umbarger and published in St. Anthony's Messenger Press. Stories from the Heart is recorded in the studios of Ave Maria Radio. To learn more about Ave Maria Radio, go to AveMariaRadio.net. I'm your host and executive producer, Sandra McDevitt. May God bless the rest of your day.
Listen to all of Ave Maria Radio on the Internet at AveMariaRadio.net. Hear clean, crisp sound from your computer of all your favorite shows. And now you can research the things that matter most, just like Al Cresta, by going to the Cresta in the Afternoon guest archives. Find the headlines, the stories, and the link that goes into each program. Then comment on it. Now you even have more reasons to become a radioactive Catholic by going to AveMariaRadio.net. Light of the East, weekends on Ave Maria Radio.
Join me, Father Thomas J. Loya, in Light of the East on this